We celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord. The word epiphany means manifestation or the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of all people, including the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. And it was a reaffirmation of what was said by the angel to the shepherds on Christmas night. Behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. So it already had been mentioned that the Lord was the Savior of all. But the celebration of the Epiphany continues to emphasize that the offer of salvation in Christ is given to all who wish to receive it. So all nations come to worship the one and only God as revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. During this Christmas season, I continued the theme that I focused on in Advent, behold the faithfulness of God, because God has fulfilled his promise to offer salvation to us through Christ, and therefore we can trust that God will fulfill all the promises he has made to us. Not the promises we think he made to us, but what he has already revealed. And we trust in the time in which he chooses to reveal it and the manner in which he will reveal it. And so we looked at several gospel readings which use the word behold. And the word was used to ask the hearer, usually a biblical character, to recognize what God was doing and then to make the appropriate response. And so we looked to the biblical character as a model for how we should respond. But in this case, in this gospel reading, behold is directed to us, to the reader. And so, for instance, Jesus is in Bethlehem, and behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Whether these magi were government officials from a land like that we know today as Iraq or Iran, or whether they were scientists or astrologers or kings, we don't know. They're magi. And what's sufficient for us to know is that on the day Christ was born, or the night Christ was born, a star had arisen, and they saw that star. And they thought that that indicated that there was a newborn king of the Jews and that they should go and give homage to him. And so they disrupted their lives and oriented their lives to follow that star. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they said, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star and at its rising and have come to do him homage." And so we want to look at the Magi as an example of worship once again. I usually focus on that, on the solemnity of the Epiphany, on worship, on giving God homage, giving God his due. We owe God a praise because of his great love for us, for his great mercy bestowed upon us. And so, I want to look at elements of worship that we can see happening in this gospel reading, and that happened during the celebration of Holy Mass, the greatest act of worship that we offer, in which we will encounter the Lord. The first element is gather. Say that with me, gather. Gather. All right, I even hear the children saying that. That's why I want to gather. We gather in Christ. The Magi saw the star that was created by the Creator, and the Creator had invited them to gather themselves and come to do homage to Christ. And they were led by a star, that star, and they went through the hills and valleys on the way to see Christ. We gather here in this church by invitation of the Lord. When I was the chaplain at Mount St. Mary's University from 2000 to 2005, I had a pamphlet that I made, put in the back of the chapel, reasons to worship during Holy Mass. had these several reasons. Really, there's only one reason. The Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so if we ever wonder why we should worship, it's because the Lord who loves us gives us a command to do so. Do this in remembrance of me. If we don't get that right, the other reasons really don't matter. This is a celebration of God's love for us and our remembrance of what the Lord has done for us in giving us the gift of salvation. And we can never thank God enough. And so, guided by our faith in Christ, we gather at his invitation. And because we love him, we want to fulfill his commands. The introductory rites, which is from the beginning of Holy Mass to the opening prayer or the collect, that's the introductory rites, and the purpose of the introductory rites is to gather the people of God to worship. We say the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us we've come to worship God. The focus is God. We haven't come in the name of ourselves. We haven't come to be entertained. We've come to be edified. We've come to be uplifted. But we come with the disposition to glorify God. God is the audience, if you will, in the celebration of Holy Mass. And so we have that disposition. Now notice, the Magi have the disposition to want to see the Lord Jesus. They had that expectation even before they got to the house. So the issue is, what is our disposition even before we come to the house of God? And so, we come to gather and we come to give God praise. That's the focus there. I haven't come to be entertained by Father Harris or the choir or the lector or the usher. I haven't come to be entertained. I've come to be edified, to be strengthened in my journey of faith. But that's because I've come with the disposition that I've come to glorify God and that I'm not at the center of worship. God is. The Magi were intent on saying, this is why we've come. We've been invited by that star and we are accepting the invitation. And that's our focus because of our love for God and our overwhelming gratitude for God's love for us. So the first part of worship is to gather. That's what the Magi did. First, they came to Jerusalem. That's where the star had led them. And that's where Herod was. And when Herod hears why they're in town, he's disturbed. And all of Jerusalem with him. Why? Because Herod was a very jealous man. Didn't have a lot of power, only the power the Roman emperor gave to him. But he was jealous of that little bit of power. And if he thought that family members and others would be a threat to him, he would kill them. And that's why Jerusalem was disturbed with Herod, because they said, here comes the bloodletting. Herod did not receive the news with joy. Herod received the news with jealousy. Herod did not want to give homage to Jesus. Herod wanted to commit homicide. And this was the context in which the Magi come, and their focus is not removed because of Herod's designs. And that's what we need to, that's why it's important to try to be focused. And if we find ourselves distracted, bring ourselves back to focus. Because not only do we gather in Christ during the introductory rites, then we're called to grow in Christ during the liturgy of the word. Say that, grow. All right, gather and grow. This homily is brought to you by the letter G. We grow in Christ during the liturgy of the word, hearing what God has to say to us. In fact, it's a dialogue. The first reading comes from the Old Testament, usually. except during the Easter season, from Easter to Pentecost, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, but comes from the Old Testament. Then we respond to the message of the first reading with the responsorial psalm. Then we hear the second reading from one of the New Testament letters. Then we respond to that, and in anticipation for Jesus speaking to us usually, for those who are able, we stand out of reverence for the Lord speaking to us in the gospel reading. We want his words to influence our thinking, our speaking, and our acting. Now, in this case, Jesus is not speaking, but he gives a message to us in the situation of the Magi coming to do him homage when he was a child. Probably wasn't an infant, probably closer to a year old by the time the Magi had arrived. But when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem, they learned from the religious leaders that this was the fulfillment of prophecy that the newborn king of the Jews had arrived. So they grew in their understanding, not just by the star, but also that prophecy was being fulfilled. Now, Herod had called them secretly to ascertain when the star rose. Again, Herod had devious designs for the Lord, but the Magi didn't know that. But the Magi were still able to grow in those circumstances as they learned that prophecy was being fulfilled. How much more can we grow in the circumstances that we have? Yes, there's a lot of evil in the world. Yes, sometimes evil has even touched the life of the church. But Jesus had said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so even in those circumstances, we can grow. We can become encouraged about the faithfulness of our God. We need to be reminded of that because we are tempted not to believe that, particularly when we deal with the valleys of life, with the lows of life on the journey of faith. We need to hear that. We need to have that tangible encounter with the Lord during Holy Mass to encourage us to see that there is goodness in the world. First of all, God, who is always good, and then the goodness of people who are striving to cooperate with God. And so we learn, for instance, during this gospel reading, the elements of worship. We gather in the name of God during the introductory rites. We grow in the Lord by listening to his word, by learning how to apply it to our lives. The Magi applied it to their life. They were encouraged to see that this is the fulfillment of prophecy, so they continued to make the journey of faith to Bethlehem. They continued to follow the star. The gift of faith helps us to direct our lives as we accept what God has revealed to us. That's what the Magi did, because the star stopped over a house in Bethlehem. Now, originally, they thought the newborn king of the Jews was in Jerusalem, but they learned they had to go to Bethlehem. Then they come to Bethlehem, and they don't go to a palace like Herod was in. They come to a house. And they could have said, well, what is this? And yet they accepted Jesus as Jesus was revealed to them. Again, we have to have the right disposition. If we expect nothing to happen during worship, nothing's going to happen for you. You've already set the expectation. But once again, when the star stopped over the house, the Magi were overjoyed before they came into the house. Before they came into the house. And so the same thing again, that I have come to worship the Lord, and I may be tired, I may be burdened, or I may be pretty happy about things. But I've come to worship the Lord, and I have this joy that no one can take away from me. I joked at the 7:30 a.m. Holy Mass, I'm not a morning person. Deacon Bill Arthur is a morning person. He's bubbling around, walking around, things like that. And, I hit the snooze alarm the second time and then rolled on in here around 7:20. You concerned about what it looked like outside at first, and I said, just give me a moment here, I said in the sacristy. I was ready for worship, and certainly joyful for the opportunity to worship. But we come with different temperaments there. But all of us have the same expectation, or I hope we do. We've come to gather in Christ, to grow in Christ. But now we're going to give to Christ. Say that with me, give. What was the first word? Second word? Now it's give to Christ, because now we're into the liturgy of the Eucharist. Liturgy of the Word went from the first reading to the Creed. And now, beginning with the preparation of the altar and the gifts, we have the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we bring forward the gifts of bread and wine, the work of human hands, that God will transform to be his very life and love in a tangible way. We give to the Sunday offering in a tangible way to say, God, you've blessed me with these resources. I want to share these resources to further your work through this parish. It's an act of worship. We give of ourselves, and we do so generously, not grudgingly. I'm not just talking about the Sunday offering, but in terms of how we give ourselves to the Lord in worship, particularly during the liturgy of the Eucharist. Why? Because Jesus is giving of himself wholly and unconditionally from this altar. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. I give of myself wholly and unconditionally to you in love. And so God gives of himself to us. We give of ourselves to God. We may not be what we should be, all that we should be, but as long as we're undergoing the journey of conversion, we're making progress. The Magi come into the house. They lay prostrate, meaning they fell flat on the floor, as a physical way to show that they were all in on giving Jesus homage. And then they offered the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they were precious material gifts. But what the Lord wants during Holy Mass, ultimately, is to give the most precious gift we can offer to him, ourselves. Ourselves. And that's what we do in the moment of encounter with him in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. We thank God for the gift of himself offered for our salvation, and we offer the gift of ourselves to God. We give to God. Then, after Holy Communion, the concluding rites begin. The prayer after communion. The prayer after communion collects all of the prayers that were offered during communion time to one. And now we've gathered in Christ, we're growing in Christ, we're giving to Christ. Now it's time to go with Christ. Say that with me. Grow. What was the first word? Secondly. Next. And now, go with Christ. When we are dismissed at the end of Holy Mass, either with go in peace, or go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or go in peace, glorifying the Lord with your life, we say thanks be to God. We're not saying thanks be to God, Holy Mass is over. We're saying that now I'm going with Christ, and I'm being his representative in the world. I'm going to show people by the grace of Christ, this is what a Christian looks like. Notice I didn't say this is what a perfect person looks like. This is what a Christian looks like who is placing their faith in God, who is always faithful during every aspect of life. Our worship continues as we leave this place by how we live in accordance with the teaching and the example of Christ. When the Magi left, they were warned in a dream not to participate in the devious designs of Herod, but to continue their devotion by going back home according to how God wanted them to do it. And that is what we are called to do. Filled with the great goodness of God, we're called to see God's blessings and God's goodness, and to continue to bear witness to that in the world. These are the elements of worship We recognize what God is doing, and we offer the appropriate response. With the Magi, we will always have that resolution for this new year and every year. We have come to give God homage.